I'm Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And this
is the Eshcast.
This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 448. Women being turned into chairs. This is not another Transformers sequel. Gadget and Anime Podcast. I am Ninja Sista.
And I am Pandalicious.
Welcome to a brand new episode of our weekly podcast, Panda.
Hi.
How you doing?
Doing okay. How are you doing?
You know, I'm doing... It's a good time. I'm gonna get to talk with one of my favorite people about games and anime and stuff. You know,
am I one of your favorite people? Is that me?
Yes.
Oh.
One of... Don't get carried away.
I won't.
Don't let it go to your head, girl. No, nothing. Nothing. None of that. You don't.
By the way.
You don't know the song. Okay. All right. Moving on.
We'll take a detour real quick. Because
we haven't even gotten into it yet. We're detouring off.
Because everyone's dropping that straight out of blank meme.
Oh. Like because of the movie. Because of the movie.
It's all over the place, though.
Some
people just be making no GD sense.
No, they're making GD sense. You just don't know their niche thing. So what Panda is talking about is the Straight Outta Compton NWA movie. I can't call it a biopic because I haven't seen it, and I don't know really how honest about things it is. But the Straight Outta Compton movie opened on August 14th. It's probably going to do better than Fantastic Four, but I'll talk about that later. But to celebrate it, a couple of things happened at the same time. One, Dre dropped an album because Dre did the soundtrack for the movie. It's not Detox.
It is of course it's not.
Like, everyone's like, Dre's dropping Detox. And then he's like, no, it's not Detox. But I did the soundtrack album for Straight Outta Compton. So Dre released a new album. If you hadn't had a chance to check that out, I'm telling you right now, if you love really, really good hip-hop, rap, you need to check it out. It's solid. It's solid. So Dre dropped a new album, and then to promote the movie, a bunch of commercials started dropping, and they created a generator. Because the big thing, and part of the reason why Dre talks about in the movie, and also in some of the promo materials for the movie, that they did the song Straight Outta Compton, was to really allow people who were from around the way, from various hoods, that were less than stellar neighborhoods to be from, to at least take pride in where they were from. Because it was a big thing, and still is today in a lot of places, that of black communities and of minority communities, that there's not a lot of positivity going on, and it's really hard to take pride in where you're from. So Straight Outta Compton was the line to really say that, hey, you know, a lot of people don't think that Compton is anything, and they think that it's shit, but it's where we're from, and we're repping our city because we take pride, because this is where we're from. This is where it all started. So they created a meme that you can go to straightoutofsomewhere.com, and you can put up photos, and it will black and white them, and they will let you put in where you want to say that you're from. And the idea behind it was for people to take pride in where they were from. And they got a bunch of celebrities to kick it off with, you know, Eminem doing one for Straight Outta Detroit and that kind of thing. The internet, being the way the internet is, yeah, I'm looking at you. I see you over there. Some people did it with their initial, you know, repping their city where they were from. But a lot of people decided to get creative with a meme generator, because that's what you do with a meme generator. And so people started making all different kinds of them. I saw a bunch of Roddy Piper ones with an overlay of Straight Outta Bubblegum. Because of the line that he delivers, we're like, I came here today to chew bubblegum and kick ass, and I'm all out of bubblegum, or something like that.
Yes.
And so I saw those. I saw a Deadpool one that said straight out of my mom's vagina because, yeah, Deadpool would do that. Some people were doing a bunch of Game of Thrones ones. So there was a Cersei one that I saw that was, like, straight out of wine. There was a one with Jaime Lannister that was, like, straight out of Children. Like, people were getting really creative with them. there were...
Like, there was one I saw with this dude, and it was, like, straight out of Milk, and he was, like, holding a glass, and I was like, really? I don't think that that's what that's all about.
It's not what it's all about, but it's where people are taking it. So the internet right now is having a very, very fun time with doing some serious ones, some very clever ones with people using various known common pop culture TV shows, characters. I've seen a bunch of anime ones started popping up. So I saw a Ranma One Half one that was like straight out of water. And it had a split of Ranma as both male and female. I saw a Sailor Moon one that was like straight out of Crystal Palace. There's all kinds of ones floating around everywhere. I saw a G.I. Joe one. I saw a He-Man one. And some of them were really creative, and some of them were really, like, misses. And some people were just personalizing it to themselves and making it an inside joke. I think whatever way you want to play with the generator, as long as you're sharing it and you're making more ties to the movie, whether people go and see it or not, at least it's getting in front of a lot of people, and some people are really having a lot of fun being creative with it, so I don't really see the harm. And nobody who's backed the movie or anything like that has, you know, yanked the meme generator. They get the joke for the people that are taken to the joke place, and they're respecting the people that are using it for how they intended it to initially be used. So I say, hey, you know what, it's fair game, have fun with it. I still enjoy seeing them in my feed, because for I think 3 days when the generator dropped, my entire Facebook feed was nothing but straight out of memes. And I was okay with it, because some of them were really clever. So, you know, have fun with it. I do want to see the movie, just because I love hip-hop, and you can't love hip-hop and rap and what it started from and where it's really gone without giving a lot of respect to NWA. And so I do want to show my support in the theater for the movie. So I'm planning on seeing it, probably not opening weekend, but I do want to see it. And hopefully, you know, it's fairly honest, but it's got Paul Giamatti in it too. So, hey, it can't be bad because Paul's in it. So there's that. And it's music of NWA. So, again, can't go wrong. They just got to throw Easy Does It in there for just for me someplace, and I'm good. So if you're up on your game like that and you're looking for something to do, definitely check it out and get to know NWA. Because, man, oh, man, like when Straight Outta Compton dropped when I was a kid, I didn't know where Compton was. I didn't know about California. I really wasn't up on, like, East Coast, West Coast beef. But when Straight Outta Compton dropped, it was so refreshing to see so many dudes proud and confident about where they were coming from. And I don't even remember all the lyrics as a kid, but I remember thinking, like, yeah, because I'm straight out of Compton. And I'm the most...
You're not, though.
I'm not. I am so suburban, it's kind of scary. But I repped real hard when that thing came on. I watched it on BET because MTV didn't play stuff like that. So
I'm not trying to make BET T-E-R, okay?
What's T-E-R?
It's from
I get it. Yeah, I get it. I get it. B-E-T-T-E-R. Make it better. Yeah, I'm picking up what you're putting down now.
I thought that was really a good
It's a good line. It's a good line. So that's what's up with that.
By the way, everybody, it was tax-free weekend last weekend, so I hope you got all your really expensive shit.
It was what?
Tax-free weekend.
What?
Yeah, by the time these guys have heard this show, the weekend would be over.
What?
But the weekend is tax free.
I wish I had money.
Me too.
So I could take advantage, but I can't. Damn it. All right, so enough about that diversion. Let's talk about what we came here to talk about today, which is anime and video games and things of a nerdy nature. Because Nerdy nature.
We're straight out of nerddom.
Yo, I like what you did there. That was nice. That was nice.
That worked. That worked for me.
Gold star for Panda. I've got some anime stuff to talk about. On the flip side of what Panda's bringing to the table, I will probably have some game stuff to talk about, just depending on time, how we're doing, and all that good stuff. But I want to talk about an anime that I've been watching. I've been watching a bunch, mostly because I'm getting ready to jump into some games that are not Destiny, although I'm still playing the shit out of Destiny. Taken King is 6 weeks away. I know you know I'm playing, because I keep asking you if you want to do any kind
of... The other day, I happened to be in the middle of something, wink, wink, and I had to get it done right quick.
Yeah, you can wink, wink all you want, but anyway, I will get you to play with me. Besides, it was
late. Be calling me so late to Destiny.
It wasn't even that late. It was like 10 o'clock.
It was 10 o'clock, and sometimes for people, 10 o'clock is a magical time for stuff.
Yeah. Okay. Well, anyway, Sleepy Panda.
Yeah, sleeping.
Anyway, Sleepy Panda, what I was saying is Rare Replay is on deck. Can't wait to get a hold of that. Going to be playing a little zombie. Yeah, you heard me say that. I said, yeah, I'm going to play a little bit. But I've been watching a bunch of anime on Crunchyroll and on Funimation in my downtime in between doing things on Destiny, because I'm trying desperately to get all of my characters at least to 33 before Taken King drops. I've got one at 34. My poor Warlock. I suck so bad at that, but I don't know if it's necessarily going to happen. And there's still some uproar with people getting pissed about guns getting nerfed. I say, hey, year two is about to start. Let it go. Let it go. And for people who enjoy Destiny, it's not going to help you now by the time you listen to this podcast, but I hope beyond all hope that you bought a Galahorn last weekend when Xur was selling them, because you'll be a sad kitten if you don't. Even though they're nerfing the Wolfpack ammo, it's still going to be a badass rocket launcher that tracks, so you should have bought it. What I've been watching, I talked a little bit about Overlord last week. What I wanted to talk about this week is an anime that actually would be right up your alley, Panda.
Tell me, I must know.
So the series is called Ranpo Catan, A Game of Laplace. Or Laplace. It's not broken up by a hyphen, so I'm going to call it Laplace.
Okay.
Okay. But basically, the core of the series starts centered around young boy in high school named Kobayashi. And when you're first watching the series, you think that it's going to be a slice of life anime. It's not.
It sounds really cute.
It does, because like the artwork, when you see it, depending upon what streaming service you're watching it on, or if you bought the DVDs, what the box looks like, the design is a little bit different, but it's like a somewhat darkish color, and it has like butterflies all over it and stuff, so you think, oh, okay, there's these two high school boys, and one of the boys kind of looks like it's a girl dressing in boys' clothes, so maybe that's what it's about. And then there's an older guy that looks like he could be either the father or the older brother of one of the characters. So I thought, oh, it's a slice of life. Let me check that out. Because I could use something to kind of lighten up the old palette. Because I've been watching a lot of dark series of late. So I jump into the episode, and it starts with Kobayashi in school, and he's in trouble. Okay. But he's keeping a very chip, stiff upper lip, if you will, through the whole thing. And as you get into it, after a couple of minutes, you realize that the adults that are talking to him are talking to him because a teacher at his school has been brutally murdered at the school. Body has been dismembered. Head chopped off.
Just
arms,
the head?
Arms chopped off. Arms placed in different places on the body. Blood all over the room. And the body was discovered with Kobayashi in the room, passed out. So everyone believes that Kobayashi killed his teacher, and they're trying to figure out why. Kobe's like, hey, I'll answer all your questions. I don't really have a problem with it. It looks like I'm in a bit of trouble here, huh? And he's like, dude, do you know what's going on? Is this a dream? Like, you start asking those questions, you're like, oh, in a moment he's going to wake up and it's going to turn out that this kid really wants to be a detective and he's having these really weird dreams and then something weird will happen and we'll be off to a fantasy land. That never happens. What does happen in the first episode is you learn that Kobe is really, really bored pretty much with life in school. Doesn't really pay attention in classes, doesn't really want to invest any time in learning and taking tests, just bored, and is looking for something interesting to happen in his life. So when this all happens, the reason why he's so excited, because at least there's something interesting going on.
Oh, no.
And he does have a very keen mind, so he's trying to figure out
if he's who involved.
No, he knows he's not involved, but he's trying to figure out what happened, because he's enjoying unraveling the mystery. And a special detective, Akechi, is called in to help solve the crime. And basically, the police department always resorts to bringing Akechi in when there's not a lot of leads. So he's basically like Columbo Perry Mason in one.
Okay.
And so that's that older-looking guy that I talked about a few moments ago. Akechi is not very social.
Of course, that's not
be like the nicest way of putting it. He's very antisocial. He has an apartment in an old record store. He doesn't really let light into the place. He's always taking pills, and we never know why. And he won't take them whole. He always crushes them up with a iced coffee can, and it only solely drinks coffee. I don't think I've ever seen an episode where he ever ate food. So he's subsisting on these pills because he always has a headache of some sort, and this coffee. And Akechi comes in, and immediately Kobe is just like taken aback by how smart Akechi is. And so there's not a lot of details and not a lot of evidence initially tying Kobe to the murder. So the police let him go, and he goes back to school for a day, and some other details emerge, and the police start to believe yet again that maybe Kobe is responsible, or at least part of the team that took this teacher out. And so they start to track him down again, and he has ended up taking his friend Hashiba, who is heir to a big conglomerate and is basically Kobe's like sidekick. And I haven't quite figured it out. I'm 7 episodes in. I think that Hashiba has a thing for Kobe, even though they're both boys, but I'm not sure, because there are certain situations that pop up. I know it does, but it's very weird because he's very protective and is always trying to tell Kobe that he shouldn't be doing things because it'll get him into trouble, or he could get into trouble. But then there are certain things that happen and he has a reaction of like a love-struck boy in an anime series that has an unrequited love. And I'm just like, so do you or don't you? I don't care either way. I just kind of really want to know at this point, because now it's just annoying. It's not cute anymore. I just want to know if you want to bang Kobe or not, and then we can move on. But he's warning him that he shouldn't really touch Akechi because he's kind of sketchy, and the police suspect him of brutally murdering his teacher. He probably shouldn't be so happy and should be wary of some of the things that he's saying and doing. But Kobe really wants to solve this mystery because it's the most interesting thing that's happened to him in the longest time. And he thinks that Akechi is the way to do that. So Akechi and Kobe start having this deep conversation, bouncing details back and forth. And Akechi is actually somewhat impressed, although he's trying really hard not to show it, with just how keen Kobe's mind is. Ultimately, the police track Kobe and Hashiba down at Akechi's place, take him back to the station, reveal more details. And Kobe's like, I didn't do it, and these details don't really prove that I did, and here's why, but we really need to find the person that did do this, and I want to help you guys figure this out, because it's kind of cool. And so Akechi puts down a challenge, basically, and says, okay, well, I'll tell you what, if you can figure this out and solve it, I'll let you hang out at my place more often, and we can talk about some of my old cases. Wow. And Kobe's like, hot damn! So the rest of the episode goes on, because again, this is all in just episode one. And we learn through a bunch of things that Kobe tracks down, that Akechi tracks down on different paths, that basically this teacher constantly was in new relationships with women. And ultimately, when they actually go and check the house that the teacher was living in, which was formerly his mother's house, turns out that in the garage was a bunch of furniture that had been made. The furniture that had been
made out of the skin of the ladies?
Not just their skin, actually made out of their bodies. So he made chairs out of women. Like five of them. And they're
Where's
all
mom?
Intricate. Don't know. They never talk about mom.
But it was
she's
formerly
gone.
His mom's house.
It was his mom's house. So I'm guessing she passed away and he inherited it. Never made any big kind of noise. None of the neighbors ever reported, like, salacious women coming in and out. So they start piecing together that the women that became these chairs did so willingly because they loved the teacher. And so Akechi and Kobe start putting some more details together and realize whoever killed this guy attempted to make a chair out of him as well. So it must have been someone that he was dating that didn't get the chance to become a chair.
Oh, so she felt rejected by not being murdered and turned into a chair. So she killed him and tried to turn him into a chair?
Basically. As you get into the second episode where this
gets... I thought Yanzarella was fucked up.
This is what I'm saying. So I'm like, not the slice of life thing that I was looking for. As you get into the second episode, you start tracking down and you see how different details have come together to put this together for Kobe and Akechi. And Kobe has figured out who he believes is the person that killed the teacher. And he believes that it's actually another student. And so while in police custody, has Hashiba do some things at school to basically set a trap to catch the person he believes is the killer. And it turns out that he's correct. It was another student who was in his class who was banging the teacher and was very happily banging the teacher. I mentioned that they're in high school, right? They are not juniors.
I just want to picture how this conversation went. Like, they bang, bangity bang, bang, bangity bang, bang.
I want to be with you forever. And, well, you know, there is a way that you can be with me forever. And you can constantly support me. And it's to become one of my works so I can treasure you and keep you with me always.
Yeah, but he... Obviously, wait, do you think maybe she caught on to what he was doing and then decided to murder him and make him a chair?
No, he gave her the option
and she said no?
No, because as she's confronted, now that she's caught, she makes it known that she was looking forward to becoming one of his chairs. He was always open and honest with his women when it got to that point of wanting to be with him forever, that this was the way that they could do it. And they all agreed. They all agreed. And so she was looking forward to being his chair. But then a funny thing happened. The new school year started, and Kobe entered the class. And the teacher started turning his attention away from the girl and towards Kobe. And so he was attracted to Kobe. Because he had asked Kobe, the reason why Kobe was in the room, to come after class. And Kobe's like, and I figured that it had to be because he wanted to declare his love for me because I wasn't failing any tests. We hadn't done any midterms yet. And I wasn't really standout-ish in any way in our class. So the only other reason that he could have wanted to see me after school was for something personal. And the only thing I could figure that personal thing would be was that he wanted to tell me that he was attracted to me. And the girl's like, yep, he basically had let me know that, you know, he still loved me and was looking out for me because I was going to try and kill myself and he stopped me from doing it. And he was the first person to ever notice me. But then he started
noticing. But he decided I wouldn't be his chair anymore.
And he wanted you to be in his life. And I knew that that meant that he would want you to be his chair and not me. And so I ended it. And so you're watching this, obviously, maybe 14, possibly 15-year-old, like, break all this down in front of Kobe and all these cops. And you're like, all right, so you brutally chopped him up and then cleaned him up a little bit.
And then tried
him
to
like
assemble
a chair. And then set up Kobe to take the fall and all that kind of stuff. And Kobe, without missing a beat, was like, all right, so Akechi-kun, this means I get to come over to your place. And wow. That's how the episode basically ends. So that's episode 1 and 2. So the series goes through a series of various killers, some serial, some not, and their debauchery. And it's all about Kobe and Akechi and his friend and two police officers trying to piece together and solve these crimes and bring the criminals to justice. And there's a lot of gray area in it. There's one episode where, I won't give it all away, but there's a serial killer that has spawned a bunch of copycats called 21 Faces. And basically what 21 Faces does is anytime that there's a killer or a murderer who gets off basically using an insanity plea and is released after spending some time in the hospital, 21 Faces goes after that person to bring them to the justice that they obviously didn't get.
The justice that they escaped.
Correct. And for a while, 21 Faces was quiet. And I think 21 Faces is the first serial killer that Akechi basically cut his teeth on. Because he has a real focus on all the 21 Faces copycats and the killer. And I'm pretty sure that he put away and ultimately had what played a role in the original Faces killer being put to death. So he kind of feels responsible for any copycat that pops up, taking them out. And another one pops up after basically a guy who had gotten off from kidnapping and murdering little girls previously started it up again, and girls that weren't playing along with the little family he was trying to make, he would seal in cement or drop into acid and then take what was left after the acid ate through most of them and mix that into the cement and make a wall sculpture and incorporate some piece of jewelry or bauble that was unique to them into it. So if it was a hair piece that they had that was unique or a ribbon, he would incorporate that into his sculpture. And was kidnapping these girls and trying to make a new family and get them to be his daughters with the help of his mother, who basically just given up on her son. And so would just bring food and whatever and then leave him to do whatever he was going to do to the girls. So 21 Faces jumps in to get involved, and the team tries to get to 21 Faces before he gets to this guy. It's very, very interesting. It is super fucking dark because every episode, and usually each case takes 2 episodes to get all the way through. So they don't rush any of the details. They don't rush any of the story. It's always this core group of detectives, basically, these high school kids, Akechi, and these two police officers who are constantly trying to solve these crimes, including one officer who is always apologizing to everyone because he gets calls constantly throughout the day, and it's his little sister checking in on him because she has a big brother complex. And he kind of has a little bit of a little sister complex, and you learn more about that as the series goes on. But it's very dark in that every murder or every criminal that they're going after is committing some extremely heinous crimes.
Oh, this is kind of like SVU.
It's kind of like another, and SVU had a baby. Basically what it is, with no Ice-T character.
Oh man, that's a shame.
Yeah, yeah. I don't really think that it needs it. I don't think that it would benefit from it, other than it'd be fucking cool. But it's very well done. There hasn't been an episode yet that I've watched where I've felt, either after the first episode or even after the second episode where the conclusion of the suspect has been wrapped up, that I felt like at any point in time up until they did the reveal themselves, I knew where it was going. And I like that. I like that, you know, unlike some series that try to do the murder mystery thing, typically at the halfway point, I have a pretty damn good idea of where they're going.
Then you should watch the Kindenchi Case Files, too.
Kindachi?
Yeah. Because it's got the same kind of thing, except the detective is Kindachi, and he is involved.
Is it dark, or is it light?
Well, there are...
It takes three episodes. Because this is, really dark.
Right, but it takes 3 episodes for the whole mystery. There's gruesome murders in all of them. And I've only ever guessed correctly twice.
But in talking about the gruesome murders, when I say gruesome, I don't mean that, like, oh, they talk about the details, but you actually have to look at what was done to people.
For someone who doesn't like horror games...
I like suspense. I don't like jump scare. And most survival horror games, the easy and fast way that they get to, I'm going to scare you and terrify you, is in the jump scare. And I don't like the jump scare. Okay, I like the suspense. I like the anxiety and the anticipation and the trying to figure it out. And I do like to be a little on my toes scared. What I don't like is, oh, walk down this hallway, turn around, there's a thing in your face. I don't like that. That's not scary to me. That's jostling to me. And it's to me, it feels like a cheap mechanic to move things forward. Whereas if you take your time and you lay things out and you create an atmosphere, that is 10 times more scary to me. And I enjoy that. So I enjoy suspense. I enjoy thriller. I don't mind dark. I don't mind visuals that are horrifying. I don't like the jump scare. So as an example, I don't like horror movies. I absolutely love Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah, because but that's just...
Okay, I enjoyed Seven.
Okay.
Okay, I enjoy the suspense thriller
What's
in your
the
head.
Box?
Okay.
What's in the box?
Okay, exactly. And that they never showed you what was in the box. And so
you know it was her head.
No, it was the fetus.
Was it the fetus?
It was the baby.
No.
That was his thing that he envied. That he not only had this gorgeous woman, but that they were going to have this life together that involved a child.
Well, he had, oh.
Yeah.
I thought it was her.
And there are people that have this debate to this day. He's like, no, it was her head. I'm like, no, it's not just her head. Because that's too easy. And that's not as intimate.
Okay. Yeah, but having her head would also result in not having the baby.
Correct. But... think about it. All the things that he did was to on all of those poor people. It was a very, very personal, very directed attack based on the sin that they were committing. Okay? And so his sin was that deep, deep rooted envy. Okay? And what's more envious? Having a pretty woman or having a life and making a baby and making a new life with that woman and taking it away. So my stance is it wasn't her head because that would be too easy and that would be just as far as a hurt because a byproduct of that is and the baby's gone because she's decapitated. That it's too cheesy. Like all of his kills were very, very intricate. So what would be more intricate than killing her and going in and taking the fetus and putting that in the box?
True. Okay.
Because first, it's not only did I take your child that you made with your woman, but now you have to recognize that the only way that I could have gotten this thing was that I wrecked your woman. And see, that kind of in-your-head suspense, holy shit, like, deal with the emotional thing, I enjoy
Did you watch The Counselor, then?
I did not watch The Counselor. I'm not familiar with The Counselor.
Well, it's got that Michael Fassbender head guy in it, the hot one.
Fassbender?
And he's a lawyer, obviously like a counselor. And Rosie Perez is in prison for like some shady shit. And her son's has been carrying on her shady shit for her while she's been in prison. But the cartels are all like, oh, no, no, no. So like they send this dude, pretty much this eraser guy, to like kill her son. And she sends the counselor to try to stop it from happening, but he's too late. So her son dies. And then she kind of, along with other people, decide to fuck the counselor's life and everyone involved with this one particular deal. And the counselor is married to Penelope Cruz, who's a doctor of cancer. And, like, he tells her to, like, hide because people are coming for her. And there's this guy who likes to take pretty ladies and likes to videotape himself raping them and cutting their heads off and then sending the videotape to their significant others with a really happy greeting on the DVD. And at the end of the movie, he gets one, and it says, hola! And then you see a flashback to a dump, and you see her body in the trash, but no head. So you know he did it.
Yeah. Well, now I don't have to see The Counselor.
Well, there's more going on in it than that, but that's just the part that's like, damn, son. I understand you're angry, but she didn't do nothing to you. She didn't do it.
So... But yes, if you hadn't told me all about it, that would be the type of movie that I would
enjoy. Oh, then you'll love it. And I didn't even tell you part B.
So anyway, but I don't enjoy the jump scare. And so that's why I don't play a lot of horror games, because it's all about the jump scare. You know, when you're going through things like PT, because I've watched bits and pieces of people doing things in PT to get around all the jump scare stuff. Because the things that are not the jump scare, they're very eerie, and they're very creepy, and they're very suspenseful, and they're very clever, and I enjoy that. What I don't enjoy is the, and you turn around, and Lisa's in the room! You're dead.
Lisa's not, for one, just so you understand, Lisa is always constantly pursuing you.
Yes, I know. I've caught that in the pieces that I've watched.
They recently just released that somebody says, like,
yep.
Depending on
how one you of your die. Room, yep. Yep,
she walks out backwards. She shows up.
Yep, and they're right. And I got to the point where she showed up, and then I turned it off because she then kills you. But she does show up in the room. There is video that is proven to show that. And I'm still sad that I'm not going to get to kind of sort of watch you play that game, because I really would have liked to seen that game. But Konami has basically scared Del Toro away from ever making a video game.
Well, it seems like every time Del Toro's tried to come to do it, something has happened.
It has.
He's just unlucky THQ. In games.
Yep, it's not a medium that he's meant to be in, which is sad because I think that he would make an amazing game. He's still working with Kojima on something, but it's not a game. All right, so that being said, I do enjoy the suspense thing. I don't enjoy the jump scare. And that's what keeps me out of most survival and horror games. You know,
well, I mean, when Allison Road comes out, I'm going to convince the boyfriend to let me put it on his computer. So then you'll have to come to my house and you can watch Allison Road, which is essentially...
Yeah.
Bonding. Sisterly bonding. Yay!
Maybe.
Anyway.
I'll give you the Destiny face that you give me. How about that? We'll do that.
Okay.
But it is very interesting. And at one point, for instance, the character that I mentioned earlier who was kidnapping young girls, to act as bait, Kobe actually dresses up as a girl and looks amazing as a girl, which really, really, really freaks out his friend because he really starts catching feelings at that point. And after solving that particular mystery, every once in a while, when Kobe goes over to Akechi's place, he just goes on and puts girls' clothes back on because he's like, but I'm cute this way, which he is. But you're okay. Just like, but why? Other than why? Like, in one episode, literally they get
to... look good.
Yeah, literally they get to Akechi's place and they're talking. He's like, ooh, I've got to use the top floor for a second. And he comes back down, and he's in this flowing blue dress, sundress. And his friend is like, why are you even wearing that? I don't even understand. He's like, because I look cute, don't I? And he comes prancing down and is talking about another 21 Faces copycat. And there's three that have been done. And so when the fourth one pops up, Akechi has to let him know. Even though they're taking exams, Akechi has to let them know. And Hashigama's like, look, you need to take your exams. You need to take them seriously. So Akechi's like, okay, well, here's the deal. If you take your exams, I'll let you know when the fourth pops up and you can help me with it. And Kobe's like, okay. So he goes off, Akechi, to start tracking down this fourth 21 Faces killer and ends up on an island called Panorama Island, which he only knows about the island because one of his informants who... I'm not exactly sure how this legally works out. Was somebody that Akechi used to use as an informant, but at one point went way off the rails and was just a killer, and is now, it's a chick, is now, and maybe she's not a killer, I don't know. I hope they explain it one episode. I think she is, because she's behind bars in the basement of the police building, but she's tied up. Maybe she's just into bondage, but she's tied up and stringed up, so she has, like, hooks and stuff around her body and line that keeps her from getting all the way to the end of the bars, but she's in a outfit kind of like Ivy from Soul Calibur.
Oh my. Okay.
And she's very busty and loves getting shit on basically by Akechi, to the point where when he calls her a dirty slut or says that he wants nothing to do with her, she climaxes. Sometimes she pees herself. and then gives Akechi whatever information that he wants.
Oh, yeah, she's...
and she's has a couple of slaves that she gets to keep with her in her dungeon room at the bottom of the police department that she just likes to step on and eat things off of and punch in the nuts every once in a while. So that is a thing. She pops up. And sometimes she pops up even in his head when he's thinking through things, trying to get to just the details. And he'll tell her to get out of his head. And even in his head, she gets real excited by that and squirts. So that's a little uncomfortable. And there are...
A little,
for sure. And there are sections in each of the series when they're first introducing the people who are murdered that the coroner... who is basically a kid. Like, the way that they present her, she looks like she's 9, but has, like, metal fang teeth. And she always is accompanied by Corpsey, her doll that she uses to explain and display some of the details of how the person died, in a section that they call 3-Minute Shocking. Where they then present all of the details very quickly about the murder, and then they leave, and then you go about your business. So I think that that's supposed to be the moment of, I'm using air quotes here, levity.
Uh-huh.
In the series. But it is very interesting because they don't softball any of these crimes to you. You don't see typically people initially committing the crime. You go through the episodes always unraveling details at the same time as the characters and not before them. So you really aren't ever, like, spoon-fed. This is the murderer, and this is the murder, and now we're gonna wait for these guys to put all the pieces together and then catch them. It's, here's a new detail, here's another detail, here's another detail. Now, were you smart enough to put them all together? Here's how Kobe's now putting these together. Here's how Akechi is putting these together. Okay, are you there yet? Are you with us? All right, so Kobe thinks he's figured it out, but now he's going to tie up a couple things to make sure he's sure. And then, boom, here it all is splayed out. And then you get the flashbacks where it's all put together for you. And I really enjoy that. So, Ranpo Kitan, A Game of Laplace. It's on Funimation right now. I believe it's also on Hulu, so you can check it out there. If you don't have Funimation, definitely hit up the website. I think you can see the first 2, if not 3, episodes for free without an account. It's dark, but it's interesting.
It does certainly sound both of those things.
And totally up your alley, Panda.
Yes, it is.
Told you.
Well, since we went down a dark...
Very dark.
Path.
Very, very dark and weird.
I'm going to change direction a little bit.
Are you going to bring us to a bright and happy place?
I'm going to bring us to a not that place.
Okay.
I wouldn't necessarily say it's bright and happy, but it maybe treads on a line of concern.
Okay.
Let me break it down to you.
Okay, break it down to me.
Imagine a world.
In a world.
A boring world where the concept of dirty jokes doesn't exist.
Oh my god, you're going to talk about Shimonetta.
Yes, I am.
I love that. I almost talked about that on this episode. And then I thought, maybe I shouldn't.
I was watching with my boyfriend we got through 4 of the current 5 episodes that are available for watching. Which is also on Hulu Plus and Funimation. It's not on Crunchyroll.
Yep.
I know King Baby Duck talked about it like a couple of weeks ago.
Yes.
And I was like, I'll get to it when I get to it, because I thought it was very similar to Punchline.
Nope.
It's not. Mm-mm. It's Mm-mm. not.
Mm-mm.
So in the past, in this universe, Japan passed some severe censorship laws. And
very
it
severe.
Literally made anything obscene illegal. This means no foul language, pornography,
indecent thoughts, images. You can't even talk dirty when you are married to be boning. Yep. I'm not they let people bone.
I think that that's something that they're going to address later on in the
I think season. Everybody at this point does the test tube baby thing, but please continue.
I'm assuming so too. But yes, even medical terms are considered obscene and have been outlawed, like permaband, like, you know, no 4chan.
You go directly banned. To jail banned.
You get onslaughted by these policemen in white.
Things the morality get torched, police.
And everyone gets a cute little, and I'm using air quotes when I say this, cute little, like, necklace and, like, bracelet. So you can't even draw dirty pictures because it's monitoring your hand strokes. Like, talk about lockdown.
Yeah.
Lock the fuck down.
Yeah. You can't even say things like vagina. The morality police will, in fact, come and get you, and you will be taken in, arrested, and you could be held indefinitely.
There are minors in this universe who are serving full sentences for saying stuff. But anyway, the protagonist of our story, his name is Takenichi Akuma. And he has gone to pretty much from a middle school with the lowest public decency rating and has transferred to like the toppity top, tippity top. It's like going to Bay State Community College and then getting a transfer to UCLA. Or like Stanford.
Yeah.
Like in Stanford. One go.
Yeah.
And like he had to take an exam to even get the transfer. And literally the test was, you know, how are babies made in 120 characters or less? And he had to write it out. And literally he was all like, well, when a man and a woman loves each other very much. And I'm like, oh my God, parents would dig this if this was reality. But anyway, he goes there with one thing in mind. He's got a thing for this girl named Anna, who happens to be like the student body president of this school.
Yep.
Her parents are pretty much the ones who have put all of this stuff morality. In place.
In the place. And everything, yep.
Like, they're behind everything. Not to mention, they're rich af. They're rich as fuck.
Yeah.
Like, money. Anyway, so he gets into the school, and he immediately, on his way to school, sees that there's a guy on the bus who kind of looks like a gorilla. I'll get into that in a minute. And he's just, like, peeping, you know, Takenichi out, kind of staring him down. He doesn't understand why. Hardcore
watching him.
Like, awkward stare. No, I'm really staring at you. And all the while, there's a lady nearby who all of a sudden screams that this guy who's been peeping out our main character touched her her gluteus maximus.
Because you can't say butt.
You can't even say ass. He touched my backside. And, like, he clearly didn't do it. And Takenuchi's like, if Anna were here, what would she do? She wouldn't want someone who was innocent to go down. So he, like, puts on this bandit mask and he's kind of like, I did it. Hee hee hee. Even though he didn't. He just, you know, tried to get this guy, you know, out of trouble. And the lady's about to turn him in because she was going to get some money or some type of profit off of turning this guy
in. Yeah, so basically he runs through the train as they get to a station because people are trying to corral the guy that she claimed touched her butt. And he scoops her out of the train and at the last moment before the door shut and the train takes off. And she gets all pissed because she's like, what are you doing? You're ruining my payday. I was going to get some serious money off that guy. Didn't you see what school he went to? And he's all like, hey, that's totally rude and you shouldn't be blackmailing people.
And he totally didn't do it. But anyway, so then she turns all the attention onto our main character.
Yeah.
And as soon as it seems like they're just about to get him, blue snow comes. And this is hilarious.
Why not yellow snow? But go ahead.
I'm surprised they didn't go that way either. Yep. But anyway, blue snow comes. And literally it's a lady. And she's on top of the platform in this white-ish robe thing with panties across her face.
As her mask.
Kind of like that.
So her eyes.
Kind of like that. Her eyes are coming out where the legs would be. And like her nose is where the vagina would be.
So her mask is basically like that of hentai kamen.
Yes, I was just about to say that. That's exactly what it is. And no sooner. And she announces who she is. And she's just like, cock-a-doodle pussy.
Yep.
And I was like, oh my God.
It's,
and
I think the best intro line for a character that I've ever seen in an anime. I'm Blue Snow Cockadoodle Pussy. And I'm just like,
and
what?
Everyone's just like, what? And like, she throws all these dirty pictures out and it starts like, the decency starts like being affected. And they just, they're like, don't look at the terrorism. Don't look at the terrorism. And, you know, and she jumps down and pretty much tells our protagonist to get out of here because he's almost late for school, which he's kind of surprised that one, she knows that.
Yep.
Anyway, he gets to school. Everything seems kind of okay, but he gets brought to the student council room where Anna is, the guy that he saved, and this long-haired, black-haired girl with glasses. And they pretty much say that we've had this issue with this terrorist on campus, and we don't know what indecency is because we're so pure. So we thought if we could get somebody who knows what indecency is, that they could help us point it out because we're dumb as fuck. Is essentially why he's gotten...
So the whole reason that he got into the school wasn't because the essay that he wrote was good, but it was because they wanted somebody from a low morality school who probably would be able to identify what indecent, bad, impure things were to the school and onto their council to help them root those things out. Because as it turns out, Anna, like you mentioned, is the daughter of the people that started the morality board. So her mom gives her a lot of shit for all of the terrorism stuff still going on at their school.
So, and to wrap things up, because now we've met, you know, like we've seen pictures of Anna, so we know her. The guy he saves on the train is literally, his name's like Gorecki or something like that. And he actually kind of looks like a gorilla. And the black haired girl, who's her name's Kaiju or Kojo or something like that, last name. And she turns out to be Blue Snow.
Yep.
Which is how she knew who he was on the train. Anyway, she's super glad that he's at the school. And she thinks that he's come pretty much to, like, lower the decency, which is kind of part of what she's trying to do, even though he's pretty much made it quite clear that he's really just after the affections of Anna, who is...
And the thing about that is really weird is that he keeps saying that he's not there for her romantically. He just really wants
to... He just wants to be by her side and help her do these great things.
And
he
be
wants
a good friend because she was a good friend to him when nobody else would.
Yeah.
Be a friend to him.
With his tragic backstory, and I'm using air quotes when I say tragic backstory.
Yeah.
Because his tragic backstory is literally that his father was a very perverse man, and he grew up in a perverse house, not thinking it was perverse because it was just their way of life.
His dad was perverse, but he also was, like, in the Senate or something, and he finally had a meltdown when the morality laws started getting really, really strict and went up against them, and so he was classified as, like, one of the first perverse terrorists.
Yeah. And like everyone snubbed his son pretty much after that, except for like Anna.
Yeah.
So that's why he's got this profound respect for her. Granted, he keeps getting involved because obviously Blue Snow knows this about him, knows that he understands perverse things and is using that knowledge to keep him on her side and help her do the, like, bring knowledge and perverseness to the school, even though they're pretty much right under the watchful eye, the noses, the whole time.
And one of the things that's really fun is that Blue Snow has this phone that her father gave her because it's a mission from her father to not let perversion and dirty jokes die away from the world. But he was able to create a device because they wear these things called PMs, like you talked about, that basically monitor everything. But he was able to build into her cell phone software that allows her 3 minutes a day of being able to say all the perverse things in the world that she wants.
And without boy, does she.
Being recorded, so that's where the cockadoodle pussy comes in. So they will, when they're having meetings, she will turn it on, and she will just randomly throw out the
penis and vagina,
disgusting, vile words you can think of, put together that she obviously doesn't know what those words actually are, or what
all
they
she knows
mean
is that they're perverse and they're wrong.
So she'll just use them in a sentence, and she'll be like, oh, do you want to put your penis in my armpit? And she's like, why would I want to do that? She's like, I don't know, because it's perverse! And she's just like, you're perverse. And she gets side-eye a lot. It is
and then we have this one character whose name I can't remember, but she's the scientist at the school. And she is obsessed with figuring out the scientific way of how babies are made. And, like, she's so obsessed with this this notion that, like, she's got these flies. So, like, she always goes up to, you know, our main character, and she's like, look at this body melding thing that they do. I think it's very similar to how humans do it. Can you confirm for me? And, like, the whole time he's sitting there trying not to, because clearly he's watching flies fuck.
Yeah.
And he can't say that. But, I mean, it's light, it's funny as all get out, it's catchy, and I'm not even going to lie, it made me have some feeling in places a bit.
Well, because the way that they set the episodes up, it's not just straight ecchi, which would be easy. It is rather clever in how they break things down.
I mean, I think they play up the humor with the fact that everything's censored. And I mean, they've even gone even further to censor it so that we could see it here in the States, because the uncensored version is a lot more wet.
So here's the thing. I'm watching it on Funimation, and I'm a couple of episodes. Are you watching the uncensored? It is uncensored on Funimation. Well, it's slightly uncensored. So all of the wet, juicy things are there. Some of them have decals over them. Most of them do not.
Oh, okay. Well, because I was watching it on Hulu Plus, and that's censored.
No, Hulu Plus is, Hulu Plus is censored.
And I mean, I think I actually kind of prefer it that way. I think it's got some charm.
It's charming. I will tell you, it's not charming uncensored. It is, so I don't know how far you are, but there's
like, they've only got 5 episodes up, and I've only seen episode 4. So I've seen the sexual assault of Anna to our hero.
Okay, so you saw the kiss and then the
stalking. But here's the thing, and the kiss on Hulu Plus one had no saliva.
Oh,
so it just looked
it looked like
some tongues were like fighting, and then the panties that she put on his face, I heard, were also quite damp.
Yep, they were. Yep.
They are not in the censored version, so it doesn't make any sense when he picks the... Because he picked them up, I'm like, why is he holding them like they're... Oh.
Yeah, nope. That. All right, so you saw the attempted rape Anna.
She pretty much got it.
Like, she almost got it. She didn't completely get it.
Like, she's gotten farther than most other animes where an attempted assault has happened. She got really close.
Yeah, she did.
She was right by that finish line. If they'd only been...
Like 10 more seconds and she would have hit the jackpot.
And then the cute little, like, she's rubbing up against him and all of a sudden, like, she feels the thing and, like, she senses this, like, this little otter. And I'm like, oh my god, I wish I could see it as an otter. That's cute. She has no idea. Like, she's clueless. And it's hilarity in its purest form.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you're really looking for a serious laugh, and you happen to have a perverted mind, then
you like perversion, okay? Have to, because it is mostly about trying to bring perversion back into the world. So they're trying to be perverted.
And they're succeeding.
They're succeeding. It is very uncomfortable at times. Like, this is a series that I would definitely not watch with my husband in the room. I was watching it one time and he came in, and as soon as they changed the scene, I went, oh my god, they're gonna do, oh, I'm gonna have to explain. Oh, I don't wanna, oh. I'm gonna get the look.
This is a series that if Eshmom were still here and I was watching seriously, she would come in and be like, what?
And
she would
get so
into it. And then she'd be like,
go back to episode 1 because I'm missing things.
Yeah. And I'd have to rewatch it with Eshmom.
Yep.
Which has happened in the past. I've had to do that. So.
But it is very funny. And again, if your humor is on that line of perversion, Shimonetta is definitely worth a watch. Like, Shimonetta is basically what I watch after I watch Laplace.
I was about to say,
the episodes usually come out on Funimation.
We couldn't end on a dark note like
that. Yeah, and then I watch Snow White with the red hair, and then I'm back to my happy place, and everything's good. Which I will probably talk about that on some podcast soon.
Okay. But that's what I'll bring up.
Oh, Shimonetta, that's so good. I'm so surprised. I did not know that that's what you were going to talk about, and I'm so glad that you did. Because if you didn't talk about it, I was going to talk about it next week, because I was like, oh, I could talk about Catan, or I could talk about Shimonetta. And I'm like, let me wait on Shimonetta, because you got to be in a special kind of place to enjoy Shimonetta. But it is very, very funny and very, very cute. And just just the dialogue when she goes to be all uncensored is just so hilarious. So hilarious. I absolutely love it. And I can't wait for new episodes to come out. So, lots of anime on this podcast. We're getting close to time, so I don't think I'm going to dive too heavy into games. But what I will say is Rare Replay is the next thing up on deck for me to play through. I still haven't finished Arkham Knight. I know I will, because the Batman game is absolutely stunning. I unfortunately had someone ruin the end for me.
Oh, no!
Yep. Pissed me off. We were talking.
Was it me?
No, it wasn't you. Okay, it wasn't you. Somebody else pissed me off. We were talking about it, and I was like, oh, I'm this far into the game. And they were like, oh, well, I've just about 100%ed everything, and I'm in the middle of doing, I forget if it was Riddler pieces or whatever. He goes, but Nightfall Protocol is going to happen. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And he's like, well, oh, when you get to the end. And then he starts talking. I'm like, no! You bastard! Oh, man, he
totally ruined it for you.
So rude! I wasn't ready! But I'm really, really looking forward to Rare Replay, mostly because Battletoads, I mean, there's a lot of games that Rare has made. I also do want to play Conker's Bad Fur Day. I will play it twice so I can unlock all the dirty words, because that's the only way you can unlock it. For those who didn't know, whenever you play Conker's Bad Fur Day from the original, the first time you played it through, whenever Conker would say a bad word, it was always censored. But if you finished the game and went back in and played, it would uncensor. Rare Replay does the same thing. So I will be playing the game twice so I can get to the uncensored language, because that's how you do Conquer. I will be playing Battletoads first, so I'll probably be talking about that on the podcast next time that we get together. And also, I mentioned it a little bit earlier, but we are getting closer and closer to the new DLC that will kick off year two for Destiny.
You can't go a show without talking about Destiny.
I'm not going to go a show without talking about Destiny. I play a lot of Destiny. I like the game a lot. I'm really looking forward to what's going to come in year two. You know, the Taken King stuff, as it keeps popping up, it sounds really interesting. You know, the fact that we're going to be actually going out into space, that there are going to be battles on other ships, so it's not going to be dropping into just the planet. And they've kind of geared us up for that a little bit with the DLC that's out right now, when you're chasing down Tanix and Skolas, because there's that whole mission where we teleport up to the ship and things like that. But, you know, now there will be battles that we're going to be doing on ships and tracking down new enemies. There's going to be new weapons. There are going to be weapons that are going to be specific to classes. They're getting rid of the light system as far as what using that to level you beyond 20, and moving to a system where it's going to be your XP that levels you. Running raid and running Vanguard playlists are going to be important again, and going back and spending time in various planets to run through the areas and just fucking loot and grind is going to be important again, because that XP is now going to be meaningful after 20, not just for motes. So I think all the things that they're putting in place are going to make year two very exciting. And don't forget that this is going to be the second year. Like, the game is only going to be a year old, and they will have a sequel. So Lord knows what's going to happen with that.
Keep your towel handy.
Keep your towel handy. Everyone should keep a towel handy. There's going to be a new raid. There's going to be new weapons. It's going to be crazy. And there's a new subclass. So if you've been away from Destiny for a while because it was kind of boring, come this fall, boring's all gone. Between all the DLC that'll be out, there'll be a ton of different things to do. And they're even going to change a little bit of how Xur interacts with stuff and what he sells and things like that. So all kinds of really cool changes coming to a really cool ecosystem. It took them a while to get major, major things worked out, but they have. So yeah, I'm going to be talking about Destiny probably every week for forever. The rest.
Probably just forever.
I mean, until Tomb Raider.
And even then, still Destiny.
Still, there'll be a little bit of Destiny, but then it'll be mostly like, this level in Tomb Raider. No, this level in Tomb Raider. And then Assassins. So it won't be Destiny forever, Panda.
You say that.
Just for now, because I'm kind of in a game lull. Like, I've run through Journey again. I got the trophies, so I'm all good. I've got Arkham that I gotta finish up, but now I don't know if I'm gonna finish it up because somebody ruined the ending for me, which really made me mad and hurt my soul. And, you know, outside of Disney Infinity 3, which when that drops, I'll be talking about that too, because there's so much going on in Infinity. like, I'm kind of in a game drought because we're waiting for holiday. So come holiday, it'll all be over. But until then, anime and Destiny! So, if you want to keep up with all the anime and Destiny stuff that I'll be talking about, and the random games and whatnot that Panda will be talking about, with some anime in there, throw in there, make sure that you hit up our website, www.electricsisterhood.com, and subscribe to our podcast in iTunes. You can do it on your desktop through the iTunes Music application, or you can get our podcast through the podcast application on your iOS device. You'll also find it in the Microsoft Store, as well as on Stitcher Radio, and pretty much any podcast search engine that's out there. If you search for the Eshcast, you will find us. So make sure that you subscribe. Check out our new podcasts when we put them out. Check out the articles and the stuff that we're writing on our website. We'd love for you to stop by, comment on them, share your thoughts, share the articles. We love hearing your thoughts on all the stuff that we're sharing and we're creating with you in mind, our community, people who love us. So keep it up. Let us know. Share all that good stuff. And other places that you can interact with us include our Facebook page, facebook.com/landofesh. You can also hit us up on Twitter at ESH News. And while my sister and I created Esh, it's not the only thing that's part of the Land of Esh. You should check out other shows in our network that includes No Borders, No Race. If it's indie, if it's cool, definitely being talked about over at b3crew.com and on the No Borders, No Race podcast. Some great music, some great entertainment, theater stuff. Guys, definitely check that out. And even though they're on hiatus, we still don't want you to forget about Geek Aggro putting together some really cool playlists of EDM, trance, house, deep house music. If you like the things that make your butt and your feet wiggle, then make sure that you check out geekaggro.com. And on Thursdays, if you've got issues,
he's got issues,
y'all can have issues together. The Issues Guy Issues Program, call in live. Soon to be Recap This, Recap That. Focused on recapping some great, great entertaining shows like Walking Dead and Game of Thrones. And I think even some rom-coms and comedies are going to make it up into that space. But until then, great archive up right now of some really, really fantastic recap shows and videos. So make sure that you check that out over at issuesprogram.com. And recent joinee to the family, but not new to the game, the Structure Network, held down by the homie Quicksilver. So many great people involved with the Structure Network. Proven gamers over there, fat guy movie critics over there. Like, the amount of talent at the Structure Network is ridiculous. So if you haven't checked out thestructurenetwork.com, do yourself a favor. Change your life. Fix that. Check out their website. Hit them up on social, YouTube streams, unboxings, marathons. Like, if you're into comics, games, wrestling, then Structure Network is your shit. So make sure you check that out. With that said, it's the time of the podcast where I turn to my sister and say, "Hey, yo, sis.
Hey.
What shit you digging this week?"
Chairs.
Chairs are a good thing.
Very comfy chairs.
You know, comfy chairs are a good thing.
What about you?
I am digging the game community because Extra Life is going on right now, and there are tons and tons of people who are pledging their time and giving away goodies in order to have people pledge and donate to their various Extra Life charities that are going on. Funds go to various children's hospitals to help kids while they are hospitalized, have some entertaining things to do, and even in some cases, brighten up their day and get a little bit better care. So if you haven't checked out Extra Life yet, it's a great charity. There's probably a gamer that you love that is doing something for Extra Life. Check out the website. Check out your favorite gamers. See what they're doing. And if you have the ability, donate a little bit to help a really great cause. And I've seen so many people doing Extra Life this year and donating. It warms my heart. So that's the shit that I'm digging this week. So with that, I'm Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
Until next week, guys.
Stay clean.